All right, everybody. So welcome to today's Q&A call. And sorry, I'm a couple of minutes late. I was having some trouble here getting the recording started, but I think we're good. So it's great to be here with you guys. And as usual, I am here every week just making myself available to you for any questions. If you want to talk through any issues, any scenarios, want to brainstorm with me, I'm here at your disposal. Just a reminder, you don't have to come to each one of these calls. It's just know that I'm here if you're ever in a situation where you want to talk through anything with me, then please join us. And you can always pre-submit a question or an issue, and even if you can't make it, I will address it, and then you can catch the replay. We're recording all of these, and we're posting the replay recordings within one business day, so you can always come back and reference those. All right, so star two on your telephone keypad will raise your hand if you want to just have a conversation with me, and or you can always type it in as well, and I can just read it and address it. All right, so we had a question here from Jennifer who typed it in, and she says, on the lead magnet submission form, it asks for the type of assignment you're trying to indirectly highlight. I need clarification on the indirectly highlight part. I'd like to do a lead magnet about case studies. However, the topics I've come up with all directly refer to case studies. I'm trying to indirectly tie in my expertise within the healthcare market. Is that what this question means, or should I not be as direct about the type of assignment I'm targeting? Okay, so I go through this in a little bit more detail, Jennifer, and I believe it's lesson 5, where I talk about how to pick the best lead magnet topic for you. And let me walk you through how this works, and because there's a method to the madness. And I talk about playing this like a chess master would. You know, great chess players are always thinking 2-3 moves ahead. They're not just thinking about the next move because, and this is the same in so many sports, it's just game theory. You're trying to make sure that the next move positions you well for the following move. So you're just trying to be very strategic about it. I want you to pick a lead magnet topic that will help kickstart the right kind of conversation, which will enable you to start a discussion about a particular project that you would like to do more of. Okay, so again, those are, think about it as like 2-3 different steps. So you shouldn't pick a lead magnet topic just out of thin air. And I'm not suggesting you are. I'm just saying that all of you guys, you should think strategically like a chess master would and say, well, what do I want to do? What is it, a relatively easy way for me to get in the door with a client? What type of project? All right, so once you've identified that, and let's just say it's case studies. You did say that you want to do more case studies. All right, so if that's the end game, that's the let's start with the end in mind, right, the Stephen Covey thing. Start with the end in mind. If I want to get in the door with a case study project, what would I need to do? Well, I would need to have a conversation about a specific case study project and not have to have the conversation with a prospect. Okay, what would generate that discussion? Well, a question that's going to be a follow-up question to someone downloading my lead magnet. Okay, how do I get to that question? Well, they have to download my lead magnet. Okay, so what kind of lead magnet will enable you to follow up with that prospect with a very simple question that will, again, do all these things we just talked about? So that's what I mean by indirectly highlighting. So your lead magnet should be somehow related to the type of conversation you want to kickstart, which will hopefully lead to a particular project. Now, if somewhere along the way during that conversation, your prospect says, you know, this is great. Well, we really have an immediate need is in this area. Can you help us here? Then that's fine. You know, you can have that conversation. That's completely up to you. But we're just trying to be very proactive and strategic about this. So going back to what you shared here, Jennifer, the topics I've come up with all directly refer to case studies, then that's great. So if you want to do, if that's what you want to do more of, if that's how you want to get in the door, with a prospect, then you're thinking along the right lines. The project you want to indirectly highlight are case studies. So working backwards, your lead magnet should be something related to case studies. Okay, so I'd like to do a lead magnet about case studies. However, the topics I've come up with all directly refer to case studies. That's great. Tying something else you said here to what I just shared with you, you said that you're trying to indirectly tie in your expertise within the healthcare market. Then make sure that you're clear on that. You want to create a lead magnet that tells that audience, hey, if you're a healthcare marketer, then this is for you. Okay, so that's going to be key, because generic lead magnets don't do as well as, hey, this particular topic and for this particular audience. If I'm a member of that audience, I'm paying attention suddenly. Okay, so whatever you do, just make sure to weave that target market into the message of the lead magnet, because that's going to make it much more relevant to your target audience. So hope that makes sense. All right. Let me know. I don't know if you're on today, Jennifer, but if you're listening to the replay, happy to, let's brainstorm. Let's brainstorm some ideas if you're stuck. All right, Jalen says, hey, Ed, just saying hi. So I've been out of the loop with travel and whatnot. I'm keeping to the broadcast because of the connection I have here. And it's loud, but I'm listening. All right. Well, hey, it's great to have you. Just excited to see what you're going to come up with, Jalen. You got a very exciting target market and some great possibilities there. So, yeah, great to have you here. So, Jalen, if you got a question, and just type it in, or if you want to talk through something. I know you can't join me through audio, happy to talk through anything you have. All right, star two, if you have a question, want to talk through anything. By the way, and I'm not sure if Anthony is on. Anthony, you'll hear from Crystal today if you haven't already done so. So I completed your lead magnet draft this morning, and that's going to be in your box folder for you to review. I included some comments as well as a quick audio memo with just an explanation of what I did. So if you're on, just know that that's there available for you. All right, I don't see not too many of you on today. I don't see any questions. I'll give you guys another half minute or so. I just want to make sure I don't miss anyone, especially with the webcast. There's a brief delay, it's like a 20-second delay in the audio. So, all right, Melissa says, in the diagram from lesson two, how does a prospect find or access the squeeze page? Okay, so we're going to talk about that in lesson 9. That's going to be at the very end, where I'm going to teach you how to create breadcrumbs that lead to that page. And we're also going to put an opt-in form on your homepage, by the way, Melissa. So that will be another opportunity for prospects who are visiting your site. They'll see it there too. But that squeeze page itself, you're going to want to promote that. So let's just say you write an article and you post it in LinkedIn Publisher. You want a call to action at the end that says, hey, to get my new checklist, which is titled, blah, 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 visit this particular page. And the title itself should really pop, right? So it should make the reader, if it's relevant to them, want to click through. And you're going to hyperlink that title to so it goes straight to that squeeze page. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to leave all these breadcrumbs at different strategic locations leading to that particular page. So that's how they're going to find it. But you don't want to just rely on that. You're going to also have an opt-in form for that lead magnet on your website. And I know you're currently reworking your site, so just know that that will that's something we'll be able to, once you're done, to upload for you. Jim says, Ed, we discussed white papers as something I would like to write. Thinking more about it, I've not yet written a white paper, and they're pretty pricey, heavy projects. Perhaps that's not a great place to start. So I totally understand where you're coming from, Jim. There's no right or wrong answer there, but I do want to give you a little bit of insight. Don't let that fear stop you from trying something like this. Again, I'm not saying, you know, you need to stick to your plan. I'm not saying that at all, okay? This is really up to you. There's always going to be a first one, you know, and the way I like to think about it is this. There's always somebody out there who's willing to give you a shot at something you've never done for a variety of reasons. I think in our minds we think that everyone's going to have the same criteria. Well, anyone who wants a white paper written, they're going to want somebody who's done this before, and they're going to want to see all these samples, and they're going to want some references, and so on and so forth. And that's not necessarily true. That is one category of buyer. There are other categories of buyers, and I think we've all been here. Think about decisions you've made kind of quickly. What were the factors that played a part? You know, like we've done work in our house, and I just didn't have the time or the energy to shop around, you know, and to find different contractors and then put them on a spreadsheet and just compare and contrast. And somebody just came recommended, or I happened to see them working on a neighbor's house, and I just kind of stopped by and asked them, hey, you know, do you do this kind of work? And they said, yes. What are you thinking? And we started a conversation. They came over. They gave me a quote. And you know what? It sounded good enough. I don't know. I just – that was fine. There could be a sense of urgency. There could be things in your background. So you position yourself well. You know the water and wastewater industry well. There's so many things that could keep them from exploring every aspect of your capability that I think it would be a shame to not go after something just because if they were to ask you for proof. If they were to ask about your track record, you wouldn't be able to give them something impressive. I'm not saying if that happens to lie. I'm not saying that at all. If that happens, be truthful. But I think you'd be surprised. I have way too many examples from my own business and the business of other freelancers I've coached where even this morning. So from my newbie coaching group, somebody who just graduated, she's done well. She started from scratch. I mean, like, this is someone who had very, very little confidence, started from scratch, landed a few clients using the approach that I taught her. She just posted in the alumni forum this morning that she had an inquiry for the first time through her website from a good prospect about writing a white paper. She talked with the prospect this morning, has already got a fee agreement proposal out to her, and I mean, from the way she wrote it, it sounds pretty good. She's never written a white paper before. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. If there are other factors in your decision, sure. I mean, take those into account, but don't let fear keep you from doing this. There'll always be somebody who's willing to just hire you, and they may not even really care. I mean, you position yourself in a way that everything else you're showing them just checks out, and that's good enough for them. You know, they don't need to see everything. They don't need to mark all the boxes. But Jim, I'm happy to talk to you about it as well. So no fear of writing white papers. Bring it on. There you go. Listen, I wrote my first white paper too. Somebody had to give me a chance, and everyone has a different story. Here's what happened to me. I was writing brochures for this client, and that's what they needed. I'd like, Ed, great. Here's what we need. Can you help us with that? Yeah, brochures, great. I did two or three of them, and then one of their product managers needed a white paper written. He was insistent on, I need a white paper for this. We're doing something very different. We need to talk about it. We need a white paper. He asked the VP of marketing. He says, well, actually, I'm working with this guy. He's done a great job with some brochures. We could ask him if he'd be interested. The guy called me up and said, here's what I got. Would you be interested? He asked, do you write white papers? I said, yes. He never said, how many have you written? He never says, have you written? He never asked, have you written any white papers in the past? He said, you come recommended from Scott. I understand you do good work for him. I need a white paper written. Is that something you do? I said, yeah. I've never written one in my life. I've written reports, but I'd never written a formal white paper. So I went in there. They happened to be local. I met with them, took a lot of notes, recorded the conversation. I asked permission to do so, and just rushed home and just tried to figure it out. I downloaded everything I could. I read a bunch of different white papers. There was no book at the time, no manual. I just did it. Today you got Gordon Graham's White Papers for Dummies. I mean, what an incredible resource. It's like, you know, the ultimate reference guide for doing this. So somebody gave me a shot. Another story, the first case study I wrote, they just said, hey, listen, another example where I'd done some projects for this company, and the guy in charge of case studies just contacted me and said, our public relations firm is doing these. I'm not really happy with their work. Would you be willing to do this for us? Here's what we're paying them. I can pay you the same. And I said, sure. I ran home, and I figured out how to get it done. Okay, so don't worry about it. If somebody needs to see a track record, they're not the right prospect for you today. And that's okay. You know, not everyone will be there. But you could have all the credentials in the world. Not every prospect will be the right prospect for you today. That's just one reason why somebody wouldn't. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. I hope that came off the wrong way, the right way, Jim. Let's see. Good, Jim. I'm glad it was helpful. Melissa says, I've been doing the positioning exercise again just to get clarity on my new positioning. And when I got to the number of years background, I took pause. I've been freelancing since 1982. So at what point does the large number of years experience become a liability instead of an asset? Would I say 30-plus years to keep it vague or express it another way? I've been writing for entrepreneurial businesses for over 20 years. I think that's fine. I think it's a great way to do it, Melissa, if you're concerned about that. You're right. There comes a point where more is not necessarily more. I think there's two sides to this. I think, you know, I've seen and heard both arguments that there's the whole age issue and discrimination, it's very real. But some of the best feedback and insights I've gotten on this says something to the effect of, it's a problem if you're looking for a full-time job. It's a asset if you work on a contract basis. Because think about what the businesses want. They want the experience. They want the maturity. They want the insights and perspective that 30-plus years in business would give you, right? I mean, that's invaluable. You can't teach a 22-year-old that. Overnight. You just can't. What they don't want is to pay the salary and full compensation that somebody at that age bracket would want, and a few other things. But those all things kind of fall into the, well, that's what happens when they're a full-time employee category. So I don't know. That's just another perspective on that whole issue of age. I would say that most clients you'd want to work with would be of the mindset that that kind of experience is invaluable. And the fact that they can tap your expertise on a as-needed basis is another plus. But if you're uncomfortable with the whole, 35 years thing, then go with 20 plus or over 20 years. I think that's fine. The fact that it's 20, more than 20, and you can't say, and you're not willing to say more than 30, that doesn't take away from anything, you know. All right. So again, star two. If you have a question, want to talk through any issues, need feedback, anything not making sense, you're kind of stuck. Anything's fair game except for the scores, my predictions for this weekend's games. Just have to yell at my dog to stop barking, and I put you guys on mute. I'm always waiting. I'm waiting for the day when I forget to mute, or the mute button doesn't take, and everyone hears me yelling. That's going to be fun. And the good news is we'll have a recording of it that we can use. All right, guys. No hurry, but I don't see any hands raised, any new questions. So last call. All right, I think that's it for today. I would close with this. I don't want anyone to feel stuck or discouraged here. So if you start, and I haven't heard from anyone to that effect, but if you start feeling that way, confused, stuck, discouraged, let's talk, you know. Just let me know. We're all family here. This is a small group. Nobody's going to be embarrassed. Let me help you. This is very doable, but I can understand, and I've been there before, where you're kind of in the middle of it and you got all kinds of things going on. It can be hard to kind of crawl out of that place. One of the things that I can do is I'm kind of an advantage because I'm not in the weeds. You know, I'm not as close to your situation as you are. I'm also not emotionally attached to it like you are. Doesn't mean that, you know, I don't get emotionally attached to stuff. I get emotionally attached to my own stuff. That's why I need a different set of eyes. That's why I need different perspectives, because I'm too close to my own stuff. So let's talk. If I can help you in any way, I'm here for you. One of the things that I know has helped me is when I'm overwhelmed is to figure out, okay, there's like 47 things that I have to do. That's obviously giving me stress. What's the next thing I should be doing? And don't worry about optimizing for that. Don't try to find like the optimal next step. Just do some brainstorming, spend 3 minutes trying to come up with a few ideas, and then maybe you write down four or five possible next steps. All right, out of those four or five, which one do you think would make the most sense based on where I am today? And just do that one thing. You don't have to do it today, but set a deadline. Oh, well, the next thing is going to be to decide this, you know, or to go back to lesson five, or to do this other thing, or to ask Ed about this. And just give yourself a deadline and let's start there. Once you commit to that next step and you take action on it, things start moving. You know, so if you're ever in that place, just know that I'm here for you. What's the best place or the best way to connect with me when you get stuck? So I'm here every week. That's why I'm making myself available. And, you know, as you can tell, there's no time limit here. You know, we can take 15 minutes to talk through your situation, whatever it takes. And believe me, it helps others. I constantly get that from other people. I said, you know, many times I don't have questions, but I love to just listen in to what others are asking and the situations they're describing, because it really helps me. They're asking things that I hadn't thought about asking. So I'm here every week and very much willing to talk through whatever you've got. All right, guys. So with that, I'll say goodbye. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk again real soon. Next week, we're on, let's see. Next week, we're on Thursday the 16th, same time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll talk again then. Take care, everybody.